The Streets Don't Love You Back radio show started in 2009 by Rob and Lucinda, and it is still currently going on really strong. If you would like to be a guest on the show, advertise any brand or product that you have, or get your music played, you can contact us at our website at www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.com. That's www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.com. And thanks again for your continued support. We do appreciate it.
What's good with you? You there, E?
Hey, what's good, bro? How you doing?
Hey, man, everybody on point, man. Go ahead and pull me, introduce yourself, man, if we can get this thing going.
All right. Peace be upon you. My name is Eric. I'm a recovered addict, recovered gang member, recovered criminal. Yeah, I've dedicated my life to helping other people suffer the way that I suffer, find a way out. That's what I'm doing here now.
My man. So let's take it all the way back, E. Where did you grow up at, and how did you first get started in the gang life?
Well, I grew up in West L.A., Washington and Housing. I was staying on home side, and, you know, I kind of got bullied by some cats. Not bullied, I got jacked, actually. That kind of made my mind up what I was going to do. And I just was going to school with him. It wasn't like I was looking for protection or nothing. I was looking for belonging, right? I just fit in. And we hung out every day. We fought other people that fought us. And it gradually turned into me getting put on the set, and that was it. It was on the cracker from then.
My man. And how long did that go on until you finally went inside the gates your first time?
My first term? Well,
yes.
I got put on when I was 11. I went to jail when I was 11. I started getting high when I was 11. So from 79 to 2001, I never seen a full year on the street.
And at that time, you was in and out, and you never seen that for a year. Explain to these young kids, man, on how dark that was.
Well, I lost my childhood. I didn't get the opportunity just to be a kid. I was always in survival mode. I couldn't enjoy life. It was always I'm going to do something, going to get something, or protecting myself against others doing the same thing I was doing. So I couldn't enjoy life. I was, like, really, really, really stuck. And once I started getting high, that escalated. It started with just smoking and weed and drinking. It went to acid. It went to sherm. It went to the heroin drip, to crack. And it was all bad from there. It was all bad.
So when you went into that spiral of your life, you know, because as we both know, that's a spiral and a cycle that keeps going. What eventually made you break that cycle of the gang life and the drugging?
Well, I remember I caught a I took a deal for 14 years in 1990. I did 8 years, and while I was up there, I met some cats. And some of them was my big homeboys, right, that I had never met. They had been locked up for so long. We had some conversations about how we were living, what we were doing. And it wasn't like turning our back on the neighborhood. It was about how do we enhance the neighborhood? How do we bring something good to it? And I saw that, how I was living, the violence, the manipulation, the lying and the cheating wasn't conducive to my own well-being. So I stepped away from that, I want to say 1995, when I folks from state prison. It was kind of rough. But I still kind of, I wanted to gravitate toward it because I was emotionally involved. But I kind of like stepped back. But then once I got caught up into the crack, it took a while. It took a while for me. I ended up in alleys, abandoned buildings, doing whatever it took to stay out. So I've been clean 12 years. November will be 13, by the grace of God.
My man, and congratulations on that, brother. And with the crack situation, when you got involved with crack, explain to these youngsters what's the difference between the crack and the heroin game, because we both know it's a different element to both of them sets. So break both of them sets down to them.
Well, you know, the heroin game is a little bit more drastic. Like I can sell somebody some fake crack and they'll get over. I sell somebody some fake heroin and somebody might get killed. Because the physical effect is different. With heroin, it's like you really, really like need that to function. And the kick is like real hard. The kick is hard. With crack, I'll probably sleep for almost a week. But then I'll be kind of like back to normal. Crack is just easily accessible. That was on my phone. My bad. That was my phone. Crack is just easily accessible. It's everywhere. It's like buying candy at a store. And it does something to you on a physical level. On a physical level.
So with the heroin, you letting the young youths know that when that monkey get on your back, that's a hell of a monkey. And when the crack, you know what I mean, when the crack simmer down, you can go on home after all the money gone and go to bed.
Right. Depending on the individual.
Right. Because every individual ain't going to go home and go to bed. They
right.
trying to get some more.
Yeah, I know I did.
No, we ain't finna go take a nap. We trying to grind up on another hit.
Right. What I do is I pass out.
And
I'm
done for a week.
Can't take it no more. Yeah, my body
I'm done for
no
a
more.
Week.
Yeah.
So let the youth know what you're doing now to uplift your community and the things that you're doing now to benefit them.
So what I do now is I work for a place called the Amity Foundation, and it's men coming home early from prison, and they're trying to get reacclimated into society. And a lot of them are just taking a look at a lot of their ideas. And like I always say, it ain't easy, it ain't comfortable, but seeing the truth of them, because I convince myself that I'm all good and ain't nothing wrong with it until somebody challenges my ideas, and I get to see that, okay, I got some areas I need to work on. I'm also a member of Cocaine Anonymous, which is a 12-step program, and I help people in that area. People that really want to stop getting high, not take a break, but stop, period. I help them, you know, get a relationship with God so that they can rely on God, because that's the only answer. I know that for a fact. So that's what I do now, man. I put myself in a position to help wherever I can.
My man, you know. And if someone needed to get in touch with you that's right there in L.A. or even in another state that wanted your assistance, how would they contact you for that good assistance you're doing now?
213-318-9371. Again, 213-318-9371. Call me.
My man, Now, if you in L.A. or any part of California and you need some assistance with not only substance abuse, if you just need somebody to talk to, if you're going through some things, reach out to my man, Eric P., and he'll assist you in some way you need.
If you in China and you need it, give me a call.
my man, you know. Bottom line, you know. So what else would you like to tell the people and share with the people, Eric?
We found a way out. We found a way to live, not just exist, really enjoy life and see the beauty of life. I used to think that the world was a hostile place, that I had to be on guard all the time. And absolutely, you got to be aware. I don't suggest that anybody be foolish, right? But life is to be enjoyed. I can enjoy life. You can too if you want to. You just got to put the work in. You got to be willing to put the work.
And so many people ain't willing to put in the work, and that's what a big problem come in at when an individual come tell you all their problems. But then once the problem is talked about, 3 minutes later, they're doing the same thing again. So my suggestion to people, and it's just not a hard suggestion, but it's a reality. If you're not ready to change and you're not ready to do what's right, keep that conversation until you're really ready to sit down and rectify what's really happening in your life, because nobody got time to waste, because time is something nobody can get back. But you can always get a few dollars back, but you can never get time back. So save that for when you're really ready to get down, you know. Anything else you would like to share with the people,
yeah. E? So what I is that whatever steps you need to take, take them. I started off a little at a time. I didn't get it the first time. I started off a little at a time. People kept talking to me, kept supporting me. When I slipped, they let me do my thing. When I came back, they offered the same help. That's what I offered. But if you call me and you talk to me, be prepared for the truth, because I ain't going to BS you.
My man, and that's exactly what's happening, man, you know. And I want to thank my boy Michael Smith for putting this interview together and introducing me to E, you know. So big shout-out to my homie Mike, you know. Me and Mike met when Mike was still behind the walls in 2015 working with the Streets and Love Your Back organization program. So much love to my homie Mike. And any last shout-outs you'd like to give, E?
Oh, to Mike. The mic to the whole West LA family. I don't partake, but they still folks, no?
Ain't no question. No matter if you're inactive or not, you never forget where you come from, and that's the bottom line in the game. That's just like saying I'm a former teacher at school, but you don't know the teachers no more. So yeah, you still know the teachers that you work with, even if you form or not. You dig? We definitely giving a shout out to the whole LA family out there, man. And everybody keep moving and keeping your head up, and always knowing that God is good, man. You know. So hey, Mike. I mean, E. We appreciate you falling through, man. And once again, much love to everybody, man.
I appreciate you, brother, for putting this on.
Hey, it's all love, man.
Yeah,
I'll send you the link.
All right.
All right, take care now. Have a great weekend.
All right. You do the same.
Peace.
Peace.